It's all things life and love with an emphasis on healthy relationships. It's Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth. Dr. Rick deals honestly and openly with issues affecting your relationships from a Christian perspective. And now, licensed relationship therapist and marriage coach, Dr. Rick Marks.
Welcome to Real Talk with Dr. Rick. Of Live the Life Ministries, a Jacksonville initiative to strengthen marriages and families. In Real Talk with Dr. Rick, we will engage in real talk regarding real life issues that direct you towards real solutions so you can live the life that you've always wanted to live, the abundant life that God has promised us. If you have a question or comment, please contact me directly at realtalk@livethelife.org. That's realtalk@livethelife.org, or on Facebook at Real Talk with Dr. Rick. That's Real Talk with Dr. Rick on Facebook. Alrighty then, for those of you who are married, for those of you who have relationships, and actually that includes everyone because we're all human and we all have relationships. Have you ever done anything to hurt someone and you felt bad about it and you regret that you did it? Or maybe people have done things to you and hurt and harmed you. And whenever there's an offense in that relationship, there's a breakdown in the intimacy. There's a breakdown in the connection. And you can feel the uncomfortableness. You can feel the pain. You can feel the hurt. You can feel the anger. You can feel the resentment. And yet, what do you do about it? What do you do about it? And in this session today of Real Talk, we're going to talk about the power of forgiving, the power of forgiveness. Now, I'm going to say something here that's maybe a little controversial for some of you. I am unashamedly a Christian and proud to be a Christian and a follower of Jesus. However, let's be honest intellectually, a lot of religions talk about forgiveness. And forgiveness is not just for Christians. It's actually if anyone can grant forgiveness or receive forgiveness, you see, because forgiveness is when we operate in forgiveness, we're acting as God would act towards us. And I've learned this, that there are people who aren't Christians who have forgiven others and found the benefits of forgiving. So we're going to have a conversation today around what is forgiveness. All right. Forgiveness, in my mind, in personal opinion, has its roots in spiritual matters. I believe it originates in the heart of God, and thus it extended down to man to give to others. And yet forgiveness is something that we humans can grant and seek merely because we are human, too. It's not just about religion. But what is forgiveness? We tell people to forgive, you know, forgive and forget. We have all these phrases we use. But what is forgiveness? What does it mean? And what keeps us from forgiving? And lastly, how can we forgive? I mean, how do we forgive? And so we're going to have a conversation around that so that when we're done today, we're going to have a wonderful insight into what forgiveness is, what it is not, and a little bit of a story behind it. So some of y'all know that I grew up in a broken home, and if those who've heard me speak or watched some of my videos on YouTube kind of know my story, a broken home with a lot of abuse. Never really felt loved, and sadly, emotionally, never bonded to my parents, be it my mom or my stepdad or my dad or my stepmom. I had no emotional healthy attachments kind of going up the family tree, if you will. So I went into my adult life pretty wounded, pretty broken, and with a lot of hurt and pain. And part of my journey of growing and healing, maturing, was one, to seek forgiveness, and two, I had to learn to forgive. And so we're going to have that conversation. So let's first begin by defining what is forgiveness. Now, there are a lot of definitions out there on forgiveness. They're all similar. But here's our definition of forgiveness, the one that I like to use that I believe is accurate. We define forgiveness as a choice. It's not an emotion. It's a decision that a person makes to give up their, and this is the key word, their rights. Rights to what? For vengeance, retribution, and negative thoughts towards an offender. The forgiveness is a choice that a person makes to give up their rights for vengeance, retribution, and negative thoughts towards an offender. Because see, whenever there's an offense, there is a debt. Because every offense in a relationship has a corresponding debt. And the debt must be paid and will be paid. And we'll see here in a little bit that debts will be paid. It just depends on who pays the debt. All right. So we choose to forgive. It is not motivated by an emotion. Now, I do believe there is an emotional component to it, but you can still choose to forgive. Next, we notice that one chooses to give their rights. What rights? The rights to get even. The right to return the debt of the offense that is owed. A right to get back at you. A right to harm you. It is giving up that right. You see, what matters is not that there's a debt. It really matters, you're going to see in a little bit, is that it is who pays the debt. Christianity points out that the only one who can throw the stones, think about the story of John chapter 8 of the woman caught in adultery and the religious leaders wanted to stone her. They had the right to stone her. They quoted their rights. Moses in the law commanded, you know, she should be stoned. Jesus never argued with them about that because he knew they had the right to stone her. What he did when he said, you who are without sin, cast the first stone, what he actually did was this. He questioned their ability to, not ability, he questioned whether they had the actual ability to throw the stone based on whether they were sinners or not. In other words, though you may have the right to throw a stone, the question is, are you eligible? Because see, in a Christian worldview, the only one who's actually eligible to throw their stones is the one who's out sin. And by the way, if you're out there listening in and you're one of those people, please call and let me know. I would really like to interview you because I've not met one yet because personally, I'm not without sin. All right. And so though I have the right to stone my dad, my right to stone my stepmother and other people in my life that have hurt me along the way, I'm not eligible. I am not eligible. So what do I have? What do I do with my stones? And the stones represent unforgiveness. It represents the anger and the hurt and pain. It represents my ability to throw the stones because of the offense, but it also represents the fact that I'm still not eligible because I'm not without stone. Think of it this way. For every stone that I can throw at my offenders, there are many, many people behind me that can stone me. Why? Because of things I've done to them. And it's like the Lord says, if you want to stone those people out there, Rick, go right ahead. However, you understand, if you want to stone them, I'm going to let these people back here who have the right to stone you to stone you. Tell me if you like it. And then you begin to realize the truth of Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if anyone is overcome in a fault, you who are mature, restore that person in a spirit of gentleness, meekness. Why? Lest you be overcome in a fault. How do you want to be treated when you mess up? I want to be forgiven. I want grace. Then you give it to others as well. I remember a story that my brother Don shared with me about a business person that he had worked with who had a lot of anger issues, and a lot of his peers were sick of him. And Don was meeting with him one time around a business issue, and this person opened up with Don about his anger and his praying, praying to God take his anger away. And he said the Lord wouldn't take it away. And Don shared with him something that the Spirit told him to tell this person. I call this person Bob. Don tells Bob, he says, listen, the Spirit wants you to know that God is not going to take your anger away. He said, the Spirit wants you to know when you learn to give grace as you receive grace, your anger will go away. And there's so much truth in that. Because when I'm angry at someone and I have the right to stone them, what makes me think that I'm not unstonable, if I can use that, if you say it that way? You see, Christianity points out that the only one who can throw the stones of unforgiveness is the one who's without sin. And yet, most religions talk about forgiving. But in our world, following a biblical model, you have the right to throw the stones. We're just not eligible. So then we think about our definition then. What is forgiveness? It's giving up my rights for vengeance and retribution and negative thoughts. It's basically acknowledging, though I have the right, I'm not eligible, then I basically give up my rights to the one who can throw the stones. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And because he is able to throw the stones and eligible to throw them, then I give up my rights. My stones go to him, and he will throw the stones however he wants, because every offense has a debt. And every debt will be paid, even if it means on judgment day. However, once I give up my stones to Father, who has the right, because he is God, he is eligible, I also give up any rights to what he does with them. In other words, if the Lord wants to throw my stones of unforgiveness at my offender and give them brain tumors, so be it. If he decides to throw the stones at my offender and give my offender a $300 million Powerball lottery, so be it. once you give up your stones, you give up all say-so of what you do with it. But real quickly here, let's talk for a moment about what forgiveness is not. What is forgiveness not? All right? Number one, forgiveness is not forgetting. That there's a great book by Lewis Smedes called Forgive and Forget. As I understand the story, that was not the title he wanted for the book. It's what the publisher kind of strongly encouraged. However, the reality is, as Lewis Smedes knew, that that is actually impossible. You cannot forgive and you cannot forget. Forgiveness does not take away memory. It does not take away memory. If someone was sexually abused, is it possible for them to forgive their offender? And of course it is. But they will always remember that they were sexually abused. Someone may be thinking, what about that Old Testament verse that says God forgives and forgets? It doesn't say that. Go back and read it. Sometimes we in the church have these phrases we use and they become kind of common. You know, like there was an apple that somebody ate when it never says there was an apple, right? Oh, there were only two of each animal. Actually, it wasn't true. It was seven pairs of this type. And get it? What it actually says is God forgives and remembers no more. And that's different than forgetting something. You see, forgiveness, when you choose to forgive something, an offense, you basically made a decision for yourself. You know what? I'm letting this go. I am declaring this a dead issue for me. I don't want to live with this anymore. I want to be free from the anger, resentment, and bitterness. I forgive. Why? I'm doing that for me. I don't want to live this way. And when you make a decision to choose to forgive something and you've declared it a dead issue for you, there's, in a sense, no reason to revisit it, so you don't. That's why you choose not to remember it anymore. Number two, forgiveness is not necessarily reconciliation. Just because you forgive someone doesn't mean you're going to be reconciled to them. Reconciliation is a relational construct. It takes two. Though when God on the cross in the form of Jesus asked his Father to forgive us, the act of the cross was by which the Father granted forgiveness to the world, he's not reconciled with everybody. Why? Some don't want to be reconciled. And so forgiveness opens the doorway for the possibility of reconciliation, but in itself, it is not reconciliation. Next, forgiveness is not condoning what another person does. It doesn't mean that if I forgive that person, what they did is right. Actually, it doesn't mean that, and those people still get the consequences of their actions. Number four, forgiveness doesn't allow injustice to continue. In other words, it doesn't mean that you have the right to continue to hurt me. You see this a lot in domestic violence cases where a woman's beat, then the guy's repentant, then she's beat again, he's repentant, and she keeps forgiving. And eventually they show up in my office or a counselor's office, and we go, hey, you need to get out and have that person arrested or something. Well, I forgive them. Good. You need to forgive them, but you don't let people continue to harm you. It's called boundaries. Even God has boundaries with his creation. You need boundaries as well. And the last two points here are that forgiveness does not remove a hurt and pain. It just because you forgive, you still have the hurt and pain of the offense. So think of it this way. If I'm walking down the road, someone hits me. I may be in the hospital for a while. I can forgive that person for hitting me, but I will still have the effects of what they did. Same thing with forgiveness. Because someone hurts you, you can choose to forgive, but you still have to heal from the hurt and pain of the offense. Here's what I do know for a fact, though. You cannot begin to heal from the offense or the effects of the offense until you do forgive. Unforgiveness blocks the healing. And lastly, forgiveness does not restore trust. Just because I forgive you does not mean I trust you. Trust must be earned back. If you're here and you're thinking, wow, I've got some people that I've really got some stones that I want to throw. Maybe you throw the stones through anger, resentment, or silence, or whining, or complaining, or threatening. All right, that's all your negative energy. That's your unforgiveness. Let those things go. Let those stones go. But if you decide you want to hang on to those stones, if you want to hang on to your, I call them stones of unforgiveness, using the John chapter 8 model, the story of the first stone, let me tell you what the medical journals say await you. To the degree that you are resentful and bitter, This is what happens to the physical body. The more resentful and bitter you are, you will distress your central nervous system, which means you'll be more irritable, more nervous, a lot more anxiety, hostility, more anger, resentment, and clinical depression is going to set in, and then you'll be on medication one day, all because you want to hang on to your anger, and which really means those stones. It actually increases high blood pressure and heart rate irregularity and heart attacks and strokes. My father died at a young age. I also know that my father had a lot of anger and hurt in his life. And I think that one of the things that contributed to that was his anger. I don't need to go into details just for the sake of time, not because there's any secret there. But his way of dealing with things in the past was not through forgiving. And he had a wonderful, wonderful side to him. But you know what I've learned? I'm not going to live with anger and resentment. I grew up that way. I had a lot of it when in my early adulthood, and I had to be free. Next, unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness increases headaches, muscle and joint aches, dizziness. It stresses the endocrine system, so you end up getting sick a lot more because it also depresses your immune system. All of that because you want to stay angry and resentful. And yet the medical journals, 30 years worth, track the fact that if you want to stay angry and resentful, not only will your emotional health suffer, your physical health will suffer as well. So it then begs the question, why forgive? Why forgive? And the way I like to get you to think about that is I want you to think about the number of stones you might be holding in your heart right now. So if you're listening to me, think about the number of stones you are holding in your heart. Is it 1, 2, 3? Let's say each stone weighs about 4 pounds. If you're holding one stone in your heart, that's a stone that you have, a resentment and unforgiveness towards somebody, that's 4 pounds. If you're holding 2 stones, that's 8 pounds. If you're holding 5 stones, 5 times 4 is 20. You think about the number of stones you're holding, multiply that by 4. Let me tell you what this direction means. If you want to hang on to your stones, you can. God is a gentleman. Hear me. By hanging on to the stones, you're also going to hang on to all of that weight. 20 pounds, 16 pounds, whatever it might be. What is the weight of those stones? The weight of those stones is the resentment. It's the bitterness. It's the depression. It's the angst. It's all of that negative emotional energy that weighs your soul down, creates problems in you, which kind of are reflected in sinful behaviors. Now you're angry at people. You're snapping at people. They can feel your anger. They can feel your – they can see your sinful behavior. And what's really sad is that the lost world sees that, and they go, you know what? I really don't want your God. Look at you. And this is the greatest anti-witnessing strategy Satan has. Convince the people of God to stay resentful, bitter, and unforgiving. That negative energy leaks out in dirty fighting and sinful ways, and the world watches and goes, you're really no different than us. I don't want your God. It is a perfect anti-witnessing strategy. Folks, whatever those stones are in your life, let them go. Drop them. Because when you give up your rights for vengeance and retribution, what else? Yeah, you gave up the stone, but what else did you just give up? You gave up all that weight. You gave up all the weight you were carrying. He takes it on. Christ can take on that level of weight. That's why he says, come unto me, you who are weak and heavy laden. That's not meaning that you're 50 pounds overweight or 30 pounds overweight. I know people who are overweight who are free in their soul. I know people who are thin, great athletes, mean, resentful. And they quote the Bible a lot. You see, folks, God wants us free in the soul. And when you give up your rights to the one who can throw the stones, he takes on all that weight. So what happens to your heart? Your heart's restored back to the abundant life heart, a life of the fruits of the Spirit, of joy and peace, of goodness. All of those things flood back into your heart. See, by forgiving, you rob yourself of your ability to live fully in the present. Because unforgiveness is like an emotional umbilical cord to those people in the past. Let it go. Let it go. I learned this the hard way many years ago. You see, I was raised not to connect emotionally to my biological mother, and I didn't. And so I always wanted to bond to my stepmother. She was the only mother I knew when I was growing up as a kid. Since I was, 4 or 5 years old, I have no conscious memories in my life of being with my biological mother. I only have conscious memories of my dad and my stepmother in my life. And yet, I could never bond to my stepmother. It was always critical. Why can't you do this? Why can't you be this? Why do you have to be like that? Criticism. I could never measure up. I was never good enough. And so I went into my adult world really angry, resentful towards her and anger towards her, but I always wanted her to be my mom. My dad had died at age 47, 34 years ago, but my stepmother only here just recently died. So in those first few years after his death, I'm still trying to hang on. And yet I find out from my brother, she's still critical about me behind my back, et cetera, et cetera. So way back when I was still a professor at Regent University in the mid-90s, I was really angry one night after a conversation with my brother about her. And I sat down and I cranked up my computer and I just started typing out all my anger and hurt. Now, I'm not telling you to do what I'm about to tell you. I would recommend you don't, at least in terms of sending the email. The first part might have been healthy. Me hitting the send was stupid. But as I began to type, I just let all the anger and all that hurt flow. It was like 11 o'clock at night. Luell and the kids were all sleeping upstairs, and I'm just sobbing. And then, as I'm typing, and the negative energy is reducing itself, the Spirit of God says to me, "What do you want from her?" And I actually said out loud, "I want her to respect me. I want her to appreciate me and approve of me." And he said back to me, the Spirit said back to me, "Why not?" And I said back, "Because he said, she can't give it to you." Excuse me. She said, "He can't give it to you. She can't give it to you." And I said, "Why not?" And here's what the Spirit said to me, "Because apples don't grow on orange trees," which I was puzzled by that. And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Where did she get it from?" And it hit me. The very things I was needing from her, she could not give me. I was trying to shake an orange tree into giving me an apple. And for the first time, it hit me. She didn't have it. And when I realized the truth that she didn't have what I needed, I wasn't angry. I was actually compassionate. I thought, wow, she never got it either. And I actually felt compassion for my offender. Oh, here's what I've learned about forgiveness, by the way. You know when you've truly forgiven, when you have compassion, empathy for your offender. Not until. It sounds like this. "Father, will you forgive them? They don't know what they're doing." That was Jesus' statement on a cross, speaking about those who were killing him. He has empathy for his offenders. And that night, I was able to forgive her. But the need didn't go away. The need for a mom still remained. And I remember saying back, "Okay then, I still need a mom. Where do I get a mom?" And the Spirit said to me, "You've always had one. You've just rejected her." Folks, this is how disconnected I was. I didn't even know who he was talking about. I said back to the Spirit, I said, "Who is it?" And all the Spirit said to my soul was, "She gave birth to you." And it was 12:02 in the morning. I called my biological mother, my mom. And she answered the phone, and I said, "Mom." She said, "Ricky." I'm Ricky to the family. And she said, "You okay?" And I said, "I realized something tonight." She said, "What is that?" And I said, "You're my mom." And she said, "Welcome home." Folks, I was 30 years old. That was 26 years ago that I got a mom. But I had to forgive before I could receive the gift of the apple tree. You see, sometimes we don't forgive because we're trying to force, through our unforgiveness, something out of our offender. It's like we're trying to say to them, "You're going to give me what I want." Maybe you want them to admit they're wrong. Maybe you want them to suffer. I promise you, whatever it is, once they get it, it's not going to matter. Because in the end, it won't be sufficient, because in some way, it's all inside of you. If you're listening to me and you've got some stones of unforgiveness, let them go. Let them go. It's for your peace. It's for your peace. Your stones of unforgiveness block relationships with other people, but most importantly, it'll inhibit your intimacy with God the Father. Now, He is patient, He's kind, and He is gracious, and He understands, you know what? I get that it's going to take time for you to get to that point. Sadly, I have found in my own journey that most Christians aren't patient and kind when you're hurting. They want you to suck it up and get over it. Why? Because they don't want to deal with your pain. I am so grateful that God the Father walks in my pain with me. He will not leave me nor forsake me. He is there with me all along. I remember when I went through some really rough times in 2004 and 2005. A lot of friends walked away from me, my anger and hurt. And then I found out they really weren't friends of mine in the first place. However, what I did find out was this. The Lord kept saying, Rick, I know you're angry and I know you're hurt. Work through it. Don't get stuck in it. Learn to let it go. And I did. His patience and His love became healing for me. Healing for me. I had to learn what it is I needed to, what I needed to forgive. I had to know exactly what it was I was forgiving. And once I could get clarity around those things, my heart was free. Now, at age 56, I can tell you this. I live with very short accounts. I don't hang on to anger. If something happens, I let it go. I offer grace. It's just as much as I need grace, I give grace. And I've realized, why would I want to hang on to all that resentment and bitterness? The only person who's going to suffer in the long run is me. And then it's going to leak out in sinful ways, and then I'm going to misrepresent Father's heart. And I don't want to misrepresent Father's heart to the world around me. You see, if we're honest about it, what the culture sees, if you're willing to listen to them, is they see judgment, they see criticism, they see anger in the church. We don't see it, but they do, because they experience us differently than we think we're being experienced. And the reality is, none of that builds intimacy. It doesn't build love. It builds destruction. And by the way, anger left unresolved is the only emotion mentioned in Scripture that is a direct path to satanic involvement in your life, spiritual warfare. In your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. Most people quit quoting right there. Don't stop. Finish the sentence. It goes on to say this, and give the devil an opportunity. Folks, let your stones go. Find your freedom. You don't have to stay resentful and bitter. Let it go. Walk with the abundant life heart. Walk in peace. You have to value yourself enough. But understand, God didn't create you for that negative energy. He created you for the abundant life heart. This is Dr. Rick. If we can serve you, let us know. Contact us at livethelife.org. And we can help you move along forward in your healing. Have a great week. This is Dr. Rick with Real Talk.
Healthy living, healthy relationships. This has been Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth. Feel free to let us know what's on your mind. Email us at realtalk@livethelife.org and join the conversation by liking Real Talk with Dr. Rick on Facebook. We hope you can join us next Saturday at 1:30 for another edition of Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth.